Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. But we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nantz.
And that was hug with his children. If that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
Middays on the Score.
I was crying before that. I didn't even need that. I was already a complete mess
really?
As a sports fan. Yeah,
this wet noodly.
Been through a lot. It's a huge deal, and it was very, very, very emotional and incredibly memorable, and one of the most significant sports stories of my lifetime. Here to put it all in perspective for us is a guy who covers sports and the media who covers sports. Richard Deitch is at Richard Deitch on Twitter. He of The Athletic and Fan 590 in Toronto joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Richard, hello. How are you?
The glory has returned to your station. I'm well.
But you know, it was Sports Illustrated's cover came out, and I saw that Michael Rosenberg's cover story was given a wordless cover. It is just that photo. What's the significance of that?
You want me to talk about my old employer? I love it. I think even the most casual sports fan understands that yesterday was a very, very significant day in American sports. Tiger Woods is the golfer that most people of multiple generations who are alive today know. You know, no offense to the Nicholas and Palmer crowd, but it's a long time ago. And people, because of his sort of, because of everything that's happened to him, self-inflicted, and all the tabloid stuff, you're just aware of his story. And we're not too long ago where, I think correctly so, most golf experts were like, this guy's never going to win a major again. Maybe he's never going to play again. And so it's an incredible story given Tiger Woods' significance in the sports landscape. When he started, he was a crossover star that went from sports to popular culture. He, I think, asked us to ask some questions about race and things like that. Obviously, some of those questions pushed by Nike and done an incredibly sort of shameless marketing promotion. But still, you know, one of the most significant American athletes alive. And yesterday won the most important golf tournament that you can win. Sports Illustrated, to speak to them specifically, has had a long history with Tiger Woods. And so it's a pretty good choice by the editors. You know, to me, any time now in 2019 where a magazine, a print product, can get any kind of attention for the good as opposed to for layoffs or declining circulation, that's a good day. And so it was a beautiful cover, and shout out to the photographer who took that photo, which is a beautiful photo.
Yeah, I thought the field that he had to fight through to get the green jacket was an incredible one. You know, all of a sudden you had Dustin Johnson go and get a couple of birdies late, and you're like, "What? Where did he come from?" Patrick Cantlay, same thing. Ricky Fowler had a nice little birdie lined up or an eagle putt lined up that would have put him among the leaders. And it felt as though the broadcast, I don't know if they forgot about these other guys, but it felt like they did, at least watching it, because everything was so Tiger-focused. What did you think of how they handled the last, I don't know, four, five, six holes?
Well, so here's how I'm going to answer this. It's important for your listeners to know. I don't watch a ton of golf. I watch the majors. I watch the Ryder Cup. Maybe if something sort of crazy is happening or interesting, I'll watch. So I'm truly the casual sports fan when it comes to golf. There are far more knowledgeable people in terms of when, you know, the technical part of golf that CBS or NBC or Fox do. That said, because I looked at yesterday like a casual sports fan, I wanted as much Tiger Woods as possible.
Yeah.
To me, that's the story. That's the story that's going to bring in the biggest audience. It's essentially what you want to know, what you want to see. The images around the course are related to him. So listen, I get it. I understand if you're a big Dustin Johnson fan or Molinari, although Molinari we obviously saw because he was with Tiger's crew. But, you know, if you're a Dustin Johnson fan or a fan of anybody who was sort of making a run behind him, you're right. You probably didn't get as many live shots as you wanted. But if you're CBS and if I was in that truck, I would have made the exact same calls that they did. I think you got to focus as much as you can on Tiger and then obviously show the shots, even if it's on tape, of those in the tournament who, you know, who are important and could be part of the story. But I thought they did really well. And again, you know, I talked to the producer late last night, and a lot of these events, and you guys know this too, you know, you come away with a certain memory or a certain something. And I think when all is said and done 5, 10 years from now, people aren't going to remember. They might remember the shot on 16. They might remember Tiger 2 put it on 18. What you're really going to remember is you're going to remember the scene afterwards of him jumping, him hugging his caddy, him running over to his family, hugging his son, hugging his mother, daughter, girlfriend. Like, that's the scene from that Masters. And to me, that's, if you're CBS, that's the scene you got to nail. And I thought they nailed that. And oftentimes, the way I judge these broadcasts is, if you nailed the most important thing that I'm going to remember, generally speaking, it's a pretty good broadcast.
And there's Jim Nance in the middle of it, Jim Nancing on things as he does. And,
right.
And which is fine. You know, there, I think there's a time and a place for a big dollop of schmaltz. And it's good for what ails you. And I just think he gives you exactly what you need in the moment. Did he push a little too hard in Butler Cabin going for the emotion? Maybe a bit. But here's the thing. I think it's coming from a genuine place. That guy loves the Masters, loves golf, loves all of it. It would be different if I thought he was being a phony or being a character. Maybe I'm just soft, but I felt that he means all of that treacle.
Yeah, I think, listen, that's a good way to look at it. I find all that stuff absolute nonsense. I mean, the beautiful azalea is flowing. You know, this is a place where Arnie and Jack stood. It's like, enough. We got, like, some economic issues, Jim Nance. Calm down with the overarching golf stuff. That said, it is totally from a real place. I've talked to and interviewed Nance enough times to know he loves golf. You know, he loves golf the way I once loved Penelope Cruz. It is legit.
What happened?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Except his love for golf continues. So it's from a legit place. That's just who he is in golf. And the one thing I will say is, and I've tried, as I've gotten older, I sort of get a better sense of this. There are a lot of people who love golf, and they love that kind of broadcast. They love Nance's passion. They want to schmaltz it up. You know, I'm someone who loves tennis. So I like it when they sort of just go nuts on Federer or Nadal. And I'm sure somebody who's not a tennis fan is going to go there and be like, you know, what is this nonsense of, you know, this overarching stuff about Roger Federer? So I get it. I get the people who are cynical of that stuff. And I'm a little bit like that when it comes to golf. But with Nance, it's legit. And yesterday, I kind of, to me, because it was such a historic moment, he could have done all that. Nothing would have bothered me. And I actually thought, if you watch the encore presentation, I thought Nance and Faldo actually had a very good interview with Tiger. You got some pretty good stuff out of Tiger, and that's where the access and the familiarity helps, given that I think Tiger's going to probably answer questions from a Jim Nance, who's generally speaking been a friendly interviewer, in a far more expansive way than he would if some of the press people, obviously, who he has sparred with over the years.
What did it take to move the broadcast up to the morning? Was it moving heaven and earth, or was it somewhat simpler?
It's pretty simple. You know, once, obviously, the Masters is going to make that call, and CBS is going to, you know, the CBS is going to do what the Masters says. I think Alan Shipnuck, what he wants to describe it as, an abusive partner, basically, called Augusta National with CBS. That's probably pretty good indication. The fact is that CBS, it's a one-year contract. They're going to do whatever the Masters says. They cannot afford to ever lose that contract. It's one of the best sports deals that exists in the history of sports. So the Masters basically tells them on Saturday afternoon that we want to move up the tee times because the weather's going to be really bad. And then what CBS Sports does is they contact the entertainment division, the news division, the higher-ups at both these places, and they make a calculation. And this is an easy calculation. You don't want to lose the Masters contract. And the fact is, the Masters broadcast is going to destroy Face the Nation and CBS Sunday Morning in terms of viewership. So it's a very easy call. You just cancel those shows. I'm sure those people were not particularly happy about that. And then everything just gets moved up. You know, if you're CBS production, instead of getting to the course at 9 o'clock, you get to the course at 5 o'clock in the morning. But everything else, pretty much the same broadcast. One thing about CBS, they've been doing the Masters for so long, and it's a very complicated tournament, but they got it down pretty good in terms of production. So talking to production staffers late last night, the change in time really had no effect on them. The biggest thing that they had to deal with is, don't be a fan when you're watching history and focus on your job as opposed to focusing on this incredible thing in front of you.
Yeah, there was a lot of people were getting really close to that line yesterday, and you could hear it in their voices. There is anybody who's watched, you know, Nance and Faldo and everybody involved, there's a little quiver there. There was something that is a very stoic Englishman who clearly was understanding the power of the moment, and that's okay. You know, I don't mind them reminding them to do their jobs, but we're all people, and that's part of the shared experience, is it not?
Yeah, the one thing I would say, listen, if you are buying into that, I think you want that from Nance and Faldo. That's kind of it. Like, if you're buying into the mythology of how important this is and Tiger Woods makes his comeback and Tiger Woods hugs his kids, you're going to buy into all that. There's also realists out there, and this is totally fair, who are like, you know, give me a break. I know Tiger's history. I know Thanksgiving Day. I know the Perkins and Hooters, I know the Perkins waitresses. I know that whole world. So I get it. Like, I understand, too, sort of the cynical name. And, you know, the Nike ad plays right after, so I get it. We live in a cynical world, and that's the case. That said, you're tuning into that broadcast, and you are sort of throwing out the rest of the world for a couple hours. And I think if you're doing that, then you want Nance and Faldo to go at that. I would say this, as someone who, again, does not love golf and does not necessarily buy into the mythology of Tiger Woods, it was just an incredible American sports moment. This was a guy who is the greatest golfer of my lifetime, one of the most prominent athletes of my lifetime, and he was basically done. He was left for dead. You never thought he was coming back at a certain point. And then for him to win the Masters, the most important tournament in his world, that's just an incredible story. And I think as a sports fan, even if you're not a big golf fan, I think you just like step back and go, wow, that, like, I saw something yesterday that probably I'm going to remember for a long time.
We were having this discussion earlier in the show, Richard, and by the way, we're talking with Richard Deitch of The Athletic and the Fan 590 in Toronto on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, and thinking of this story, where it would fit literally in the idea of monomyth. Of going back, I think this is whether it's Odysseus or the modern interpretations of, you know, Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter, following these marking points of the realizing of one's special powers, the awakening to one's special powers, the having to confront a great difficulty, time spent in a wilderness where you become a different version of yourself, or you realize something about yourself, and then your ultimate return to glory. I mean, this is an ancient, ancient monomyth, even though many of his issues that time in the wilderness was in large part of his own doing, one could say, well, look, it's the pressures that were placed upon him. It was the outside perception of him that was impossible for a human being to live up to. I mean, this fits right there in something that is almost right out of a storybook.
Yeah, listen, everyone loves sort of the notion of the comeback, or like sort of, you know, the myth of Sisyphus finally sort of being overcome. So, again, it had all those elements. You know, the warped mind that I have and the fact that I'm a big fan of professional wrestling, I would have loved for Tiger to win, pull off his red T-shirt. It reveals a T-shirt under that says, screw you, and he just curses all the fans and says, you never believed in me. Screw you guys. I'm the best. That would have been great. To me, that would have been an incredible ending. Very professional wrestling, and then you want to tune in the next week. Instead, you know, you got Nance and Butler Cabin talking about how, you know, the birds have never sung greater on this day. The grass was never greener. The sun was never brighter. And the world has gifted us with this gift, Tiger Woods. So it was, you know, I will say this. The one of the fun things for me as sports media nerd today was to read all the stories coming out of Augusta, because there's some intimidation there. And you guys know this from broadcasting too. It's like, you know, you just saw something incredible and something that people are going to remember for the rest of your life. Like, how do you write something that even comes close to that? Or how do you sort of, you know, even broadcast after the fact or describe it to describe what people saw? So it's been fun just reading all these stories coming out of Augusta today, just to see how writers there processed it. And a lot of writers really did a great job. And you mentioned Sports Illustrated, Michael Rosenberg. That's a really terrific piece. Joe Posnanski also wrote a piece from the viewpoint of the 12th hole. So he wrote it in the voice of the 12th hole, which has been, I guess, a significant hole at the Masters. And so that was pretty cool to read some of these great pieces out of there. But it was an amazing thing to watch. And, you know, if you're a ratings geek like myself, the one thing you do think about is, man, can you imagine that thing happened at the normal afternoon tea time? Tiger Woods winning the Masters around 7, 7:30 on CBS, the rating would have been, I mean, you know, NFL rating. In this case, they had a good rating, but nowhere near, it, in my opinion, it could have been had the tournament gone off at its normal time.
I'm with you on the broadcast in general that it handled things really well. I did think that Nance toward the end there and definitely in Butler Cabin got a little bit much, but I don't know that we could have expected anything else. I thought the broadcast over 4 days, as much of it as I watched, followed and pointed out Tiger's own self-inflicted wounds as clearly as they could. And I don't know, you've mentioned that you don't buy into the myth of Tiger Woods a little bit here, Richard. I just think that because as much as, and I don't necessarily either, he is the guy that we've all seen him be, but it's all been so public that I don't know that a broadcast like the Masters for 4 days really needs to delve into all of that stuff or needed to, because we all know it. I mean, if we're watching it, we've all read these stories in headlines and heard the tales of his, you know, his infidelity and his drug use, all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I buy that. I think that's legit, and I don't think – listen, you might want that on the Masters Tour because it is never going to happen.
Right,
and I should
just
be clear. It's like in terms of the mythology of Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods' golf play, that's not myth. That's real. He's the best I've ever seen and deserves all his victories from his God-given abilities. The mythology to me comes in when you get the Nikes of the world and the CBSs and everybody else. But that's not just Tiger Woods, by the way. You know, name any from Urban Meyer to Bobby Knight to Jim Harbaugh to name any sort of major sports star. There's all mythology around it. This reason why one of the most interesting sports people I've ever dealt with, and I will always contend this, is Charles Barkley, who is unapologetic about who he is and really doesn't have a mythology around him. You may hate him, you may like him, but it's sort of, at least, you know, at least post playing, he sort of is who he is, which I think is pretty transparent and honest. So, you know, you can make a lot of money, and Tiger Woods has on the mythology around Tiger Woods. But what is real, and this is why I think people really cared about yesterday, what's real is his golf game. And yesterday was real in terms of this guy managed his course beautifully and won the most important tournament that he could win after, again, 3 or 2.5 years ago, you know, given his back issues. You never thought this guy would play again, maybe even have trouble walking again. And that is an amazing story. And Tiger Woods honestly never has to do anything, I would think, never has to do anything else again. And he would be satisfied with everything he's done. He will continue playing. He probably will continue winning. But to me, that's an incredible sports story, as he came back yesterday from whatever injuries he had and was able to get back to the top of the mountain.
And lastly, Richard, as we let you go, what now? How does the narrative change in the way you believe Woods is going to be covered? We got more majors to come. We got a PGA that's been moved up to in just a few weeks. So this, everything goes a bit into hyperdrive now, does it not? As we get to the chase of the Golden Bear,
we need a rival now. So I encourage any of these young guys to go out and call out Tiger Woods today. Get some free publicity. Say that you are truly the best golfer of all time, not Tiger Woods, and let's let the press run with that. I think what's next is basically he has set himself up, and thus the sporting and viewing public, for the rest of the year for us to be incredibly interested in anything he does. Every tournament he plays will, certainly for every golf fan, be must-watch, but I think will cross over to a lot of casual sports fans. So that's what's next. Is what he did is, I think he has made himself once again one of the most important athletes in America, certainly through the end of the year. And I would say the Masters win probably buys him a couple of years of that, because even let's say he goes winless for the rest of the year, you know, come next April, what will the story again be at Augusta if he's playing? It'll be Tiger Woods. So he's now with us in our you know, front and center in our sporting consciousness. Minimum of a year plus, if not more.
Great stuff, Richard. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time.
That is Richard Deitch, brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year. On July 16th, catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today.
Yeah, that's something that sinks in a little bit, just how big the ripples are here.
Right.
The idea that Tiger Woods is now a part of golf's storyline in a way that he was 10 years ago, where every major is, sure, there's these guys. What's Tiger Woods going to do? You know, where is Tiger Woods going to tee off? How is he going to play this major championship? And that's going to last like Richard said, that's going to last whether he wins one in the next, I would say, 2 years or not. As long as he's playing, we're going to be watching. It's going to take the next cycle of major championships, next year's all four, until it dissipates at all. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. When you start thinking about it, and what the meetings they're going on at Nike today, and what the moment they thought that this could actually happen.
Let's make more myth.
Thinking of what they're doing and the fact that they got out of the equipment business. Remember, he's not playing Nike clubs, right?
Yeah, they don't.
They don't make clubs anymore.
Any club anymore. They still make golf balls.
No, they made bad golf balls.
They were like hitting rocks. I hated playing
Nikes. Apparently made, and I don't really know
always,
the difference.
No,
but they
neither
made
do I.
Bad
but I always figured
balls.
As bad a golfer as I am, to realize that that ball sucks, it's got to be really bad. So he gets the good ones, apparently.
Should let you know that we got some Cubs that are going to be joining these airwaves this week. Joe Maddon is going to be on with Lawrence Holmes tomorrow at noon, and Jed Hoyer is going to be on Thursday with Mully and Haw at 8 a.m., part of the regular lineup of Cubs guests. You talked about some Cubs stuff, and we're looking at tonight's game and the start of this series. You got to eat. This is an opportunity. The Cubs must go dine on some fish. Marlin steaks are maybe not the most flavorful that you get in the ocean. But
they're nourishment, and they're needed at this point. You went 1-1 against the Angels without a chance to take the series. Yeah, you got to win a couple of ball games tonight.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. 312-644-6767. I know that the text line has really been quite a place. I mean, it always is, but my God.
We understand. So many feel the need to point out Tiger's shortcomings.
It's
his
all baked
failures
in.
And his self-inflicted problems.
It's all baked in.
We know that. I know that. That happens with every. Richard made a whole list of athletes and coaches and myths that have been made in the American sports realm, and all of them have been trumped up or otherwise just completely made up. This goes all the way back, like Mickey Mantle. You can go all Babe Ruth, all of them had ridiculous stories told about them and bubbles, the sheathed in bubbles that could otherwise not be pierced by a press that didn't want to at the time. And now you're in a place where everything is so public, so incredibly publicly documented, where it's clear, it's obvious, and it's clear what he did to himself and to his family. That's all part of what he came back with, not necessarily from, but he's back with all that stuff. He plays with all that stuff. That's part of the incredible win yesterday was.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score. This segment's brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Shopping for a mortgage and maybe trusting hundreds of thousands of dollars to an online firm? Really? Use Lakeside Bank. Your own Lakeside mortgage banker will be with you every step of the way. When it comes to a mortgage, personal is best. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. Grabbing some phone calls, 312-644-6767. This is Mark in Michigan City on the score.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? How you doing, Connor?
Well.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dan. Comprehensiveness of Tiger Woods' career, he's the greatest ever. Now, when he hit that in his management on the back nine, his course management was the best I ever seen conceived, really. After Molinari and the other gentleman knocked it in Race Creek, I said, Tiger, just go between those two bunkers, man. Don't just go between the two bunkers. And he did. I knew the tournament was his, that he had. And he after the 15th, he never grabbed the big dog again on 17 and 18.
That's right.
It was a great win, and I was proud to watch it yesterday.
It was discretion was the better part of valor.
Yeah, I kind of forgot.
There's no question.
It was 17, I think, that he put the – no, 18, I guess, that he put the driver away. Nance made a big deal about it when he was on the tee box. There's that one. And then he plays that hole, the final hole, knowing that a bogey can win it for him. He took the semi-aggressive line at the par putt, you know, and kind of made a run at it. And you could feel, you know, he flips the putter. I think he thought – that he had the thing, and I think he wanted that putt, but knowing that he could leave himself just a little bit of work to do, just a little tap in to get the bogey and win the thing was pretty impressive. It was the tee shot on 16. I mean, that's just it's It's perfect.
And you could feel the buildup when you saw it land. You saw his reaction. You knew he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see where it lands, and you've been watching all day. My first thought was, that's going in. The moment I saw it land, I thought, that's damn in.
Speed was nice, just needed a turn a little bit more. You know, you were saying earlier in the day that the this is one of the greatest sporting achievements of your lifetime, one of the greatest sports stories of your lifetime.
Yeah, the size of the story. Yeah.
And I think, obviously, it is for me as well, born in 85. Michael Phelps is in the background of one of the photos of Tiger Woods. He was there on the course, looking, staring down one of those putts and making an attempt. I think it was the par putt we were just talking about. Phelps and his run in Beijing was a giant story at the time.
But it's swimming.
But it's faded into the background. And it's the Olympics, and I don't know that had the staying power. It felt big. I mean, I don't know. I was working minor league baseball at the time, and at the ballpark, they put it up on the Jumbotron. Like, it was part of the entertainment. You knew when going to the ballpark that night,
right,
that those races were going to be on the screen. But it doesn't have any staying power.
It's not some generational thing.
No, it's a moment. It's a sports moment. There is no staying power. This has staying power, like, in the immediate future. For the next 2 years of major championships, Tiger Woods will be a top storyline.
But this is a god. This is a god of his sport that is talked about generationally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of sport that's handed down generationally. It's not like on a Sunday afternoon you say to your kid, yeah, let's go spend 3 hours swimming laps.
No, of course
let's go
not.
Do an individual
of
medley out there.
Not.
It's different. And this is, you know, for those of us, like I say, my son was born Christmas of 04 and has been a huge golf fan his entire life. Loves playing, loves watching. It's, you know, he's something he's shared with my dad. You know, the three of us have played together. And, you know, like, my dad is a giant golf fan. Like, he watches the seniors, he watches the LPGA,
yeah,
he watches the ancillary tours, the European tour, knows everybody. And, like, so many of his little, as a little kid, when he gets a red Nike shirt, he gets a black Tiger Woods hat, yeah, with his first set of little tiny plastic clubs. I mean, this is seeped in a way where he's standing there emotional, seeing his children's ABCs book come to life for the first time in his memory. He doesn't really have working memories of Tiger at his peak, even though it's part of his lifetime. He can't say, I was there in front of the, even though I tried to tell him, you know, remember this. For him, it was Mickelson winning his first one.
Yeah.
Mickelson leaping with both hands in the air, getting 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah, can we call that a leap?
But that was his real, that's his master's memory,
mm-hmm,
was Mickelson, much more than it was Tiger or anything else. So to have this happen and to see, he's like, I can't be in the same room with you. I got to run around. So he goes, he's shooting baskets in the basement just to help sublimate nervous tension because of all that was going on. But that's, I mean, I know other sports and Michael Phelps and all that, sure. I'm not taking it away from you. It was your moment.
No, I don't mean to say, no, the moment matched in fervor, in the sense of community, you're welcome, the sense of community that it created for a moment, but there was no staying power to it. I wouldn't even put it up there in the top five probably of my lifetime. But in terms of the staying power, I don't know that there's going to be I don't know that there's another story quite like it. I mean, even looking at the Miracle on Ice, they didn't put on the skates the next season and go play again for another title. You know, that was just a moment in time. It was just there. It was over when it was over. Tiger still has maybe part of the storybook to write.
How great was the tension between Tiger and Patrick Reed and Butler Cabot?
Palpable.
Oh, they do not like each other. And you know what?
When Richard Deitch mentioned all you need now is a villain, I thought Patrick Reed is just the guy to do it, but he's not playing well enough to really scream and yell.
Joined by Patrick Reed, last year's winner, here to present the green jacket to Tiger in just a moment, and Victor Hovland, low amateur, and a great year for the amateurs at the tournament.
And this man.
I am contractually obligated to talk about this.
And Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland, the Norwegian who sounds like Barry Trammell of the Daily Oklahoman for some reason. Maybe all people in Norway talk like this now, but
he also gets no question or next question by Russell Westbrook.
Right, but seriously, he's like, the first golfer ever from Norway. Well, I just need to get back to class down there in Stillwater. I mean,
all right, buddy.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. Like, that guy's not from Norway. And if he is from Norway, what's going on?
Back to school tomorrow. And, yeah, grind it out and trying to get the repeat at Nationals.
Good luck at that.
Well, thanks so much.
Good luck at that. Tiger, over to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Good luck at that.
Appreciate it real much. Thanks. Much obliged. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join the Big Ten West Division champion Northwestern Wildcats at Ryan Field this fall. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. You know what I have?
What?
I've got the odds to win the 2019 PGA Championship. You are up 200. Ooh. You are playing with
225, my friend.
You've got house money to play with, and I've got your very first blush numbers on the next major on the schedule.
And Victor Hovland.
I would love to do all of it. Lawrence is next in transition, too. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 the score.
Back to school tomorrow, and, grind it out and trying to get the repeat at Nationals.
Good luck at that.
Good luck to you, sir. That ain't going to happen.
Go get him.
Go get him. Is that how all people from Norway sound now?
Yes. Yeah, they've changed the national accent. They're able to do that.
Welcome to Oslo. My name's Thorbjorn. How's it going? Know how to boot scoot?
You said you have odds for me. I want to win more money now. I've been touched.
All right.
I want it. I want the betting thing. Give me the numbers. I got Tiger at 18-1. I would tell you now that he's something like, 14-1 for the next.
First, let me give some thank yous to Brian Wacker, Richard Deitch for joining us. The producers were Camp Diaz and Dickens, ZPAC, the updates. Joe Sheehan will be our guest tomorrow to talk baseball. Your co-favorites to win the PGA, I believe it's Bethpage Black, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods at 9-1.
9-1?
9-1.
My God.
Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy are 12-1.
Rory McIlroy had a tough weekend.
Brooks Koepka's at 14-1. Yeah. Justin Rose, 18-1. The group at 20-1. DeChambeau, Molinari, Day, Rahm, Fowler. Spieth and Fleetwood at 25. 33-1. Matsuyama, Reed, Finau, Schauffele.
There's your guy.
Bingo.
There's your guy.
Grab that while you can.
He is going to win a major, and I will put more money on Xander.
Yep, 40-1. Bubba, Stenson, Cantlay, Mickelson. 50-1, Cameron Champ, Louis Oosthuizen, Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia. 66-1, Adam Scott, Alex Noren, Brant Snedeker, Woodland, Leishman, Kuchar, Peters, Simpson.
Charlie Leishman.
80-1 for Grace, Poulter, Kisner, Olesen, Hatton, Zach Johnson, and Aaron Wise.
And Victor Hovland.
Is 100-1, not to mention... They already have odds for the U.S. Open and the Open Championship up here as well. I will just tell you, Tiger Woods is 9-1 to win the U.S. Open. He is the favorite. And for the Open Championship, Rory McIlroy is at 8-1, Tiger Woods 9-1.
Find more bets to make there. A couple of odds, little nuggets there for you. Found them all over the weekend. I don't know that I'll be betting Tiger again. At 9-1.
Xander Schauffele, 40-1
Love
for
that.
The Open Championship.
Love that.
Xander Schauffele, 28-1 for the U.S. Open. Maybe you could do a Xander Schauffele parlay of some kind.
The Xander Schauffele?
Yeah, see what you could come up with. Do the Super Bowl Schauffele. Lawrence Holmes is going to join us next for Transition on the Score.
No Sports Station.
I'm here for this.
Lawrence Holmes is here and is ready to go. Repping the Roll Tide today.
Hashtag Roll Tide.
Damn Tide.
Damn right, Roll Damn Tide. Spring game this weekend.
I saw.
Yeah, what is the headline you saw today?
Headline, AP Sports tweeted out, Nick Saban set to revamp defense with top recruits. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Is it different than other years?
It's really not.
This year he's doing that then, huh?
I didn't know that he's choosing to do that just this year.
I guess in the spring game, he let media call plays.
Was he losing it?
I mean, it's the spring game and it's Alabama. So yeah. And then he like went after the losing team. It was like, now, let me ask you some questions about some of the plays that you called. So, you know, it's fun. And then I'm sure he had a couple Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies, and
that's
he was good
thing,
to go.
Right?
Yeah, I think two every morning.
That's a lot.
But the fact that it's ritualized and fetishized just makes it weird.
I actually went and bought some oatmeal cream pies yesterday at the Target. And you know what I do appreciate about them?
Wait, the Target?
Yeah, the Target or okay. Target.
Okay.
Like the Joel's. Is that they're 12 in a pack instead of 10. They just are arbitrarily 12 oatmeal cream pies. And it's better than getting, like, you get the Swiss rolls, which are my favorite, but those are, you're only getting 5 of those because there's 10.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the oatmeal cream pies are like, no, let's make them 12.
Yeah, this 12. Has been Sox Math with Lawrence Holt.
Hey.
It's the same with Star Crunch.
Star Crunch, you get 12? I didn't know that.
What are the Star Crunch? Those are the Rice Krispie things mean, with the caramel and the. Well, I just can't remember the name.
It was a short-lived sci-fi series on FX, I think.
Is there a cross? Is that the Little Debbie version? Yeah. Or is that what's the other
Star Crunch?
I don't know that there.
There is one. Yeah, there really isn't an equivalent.
I thought there was.
Where like Swiss rolls are dinged or ho-hos, but there really isn't a.
Oh yeah.
There's no analog.
Yeah, there really isn't.
So what was your viewing experience like yesterday?
It was cool because I had gone to the gym. And I was like, oh, yeah, they're starting early today, and they're doing 3 and all this stuff. I said, this is great. And with the way that – I can't wait to see the Chicago numbers because I think weather was a factor in the Chicago numbers. Didn't nobody want to go outside yesterday? Like, that was just crazy. So I just sat there and hunkered down and enjoyed it.
I actually have your Chicago numbers for you. It just came out. These are the guesstimate ratings from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Chicago was the 31st area on the listing.
Wow, I thought it would have been higher.
It did a 7.8.
I kind of...
And a 20 share.
I really enjoyed watching it in the morning. I know that
so did I.
The Masters are not going to do that again, but the whole format of the final round was fantastic because I felt like I could watch the Masters, I could get some stuff done around the house, and then... There was a nice little respite between that and Game of Thrones for me.
That
it worked out great.
Something, by the way.
Yeah, there's some
tension.
You're not a Game of Thrones guy, are you?
I'm not. Tension.
Here's a question. Why exactly did Daenerys feel the need to say to Tarly, yeah, I totally killed your family.
That's now who she what? Is, man. That's now who she what? Is. She's testing the boundaries. She's pushing things as far as she possibly can.
But that was supposed to be like a nice
can.
Moment.
No.
It's supposed
no.
to be, oh, man,
she
you saved my guy.
She can't turn it off.
Yeah, she
That's
going
to be her downfall. She can't turn it off. She's going to lose in this whole thing. I promise you.
We're all
this thing
lose.
Will be the down. Well, yeah, the White Walkers could win the whole thing. But this is, it's her downfall is going to be the one of the main storylines, and it's just going to mess with everybody, and everybody's going to hate it.
Can I give you, my wife is actually in Miami, and I said, listen, because she's the one who brought me into this thing. I said, listen, I know that you're on vacation, but your ass is going to be in front of a television so that there's no lag.
You can't be late.
Correct.
You can't be
like,
late.
We need to talk about this. So she dragged me in, and so I was messing with her last night with some of my theories that I'm half-heartedly, like, I feel. Let me throw one at you, Connor McKnight,
okay.
and
All
see
right.
how you feel about it.
All right.
That... While this is an alternate Earth.
Sure.
Alternate
okay.
Earth. What if I told you that at the end of this, we find out that the Night King is us and that it's the future?
Like, it's all... time travel upsets me in almost every single sci-fi storyline. It's why I'm still a little bit on the edge
the
about
night,
Endgame.
The Night King has been around for 10,000 years.
Or something. Yeah. So
what if we're the Night King people and we screwed everything up and then they sent us behind a wall and then humanity rebuilt itself into the world that is the globe that is Game of Thrones and now we're coming back to ruin everything. It's an allegory. It is an allegory, sir, about global warming and nuclear war
right.
and everything else.
That's what we need, more allegory in that show.
There. Now, I've thrown out my crazy Game of Thrones theory. Dan looks completely bored and out of the loop.
No, the funny thing is it actually hurts me as a crossword puzzler. It puts me at a disadvantage because it's a shared sort of zeitgeist that is being
used. There's a lot of crossover of
really
nerd-dom.
Good crossword. A lot of vowels in some of those.
A lot
names.
Of names that crossword people like. So I was thinking about watching Tony Finau yesterday. That if nothing else, he's played his way into a little bit of a bait and switch of the word final or something like that. That's going to get somebody.
I actually thought about this. I was talking with Christopher a minute ago. I don't know if you have any interest in jumping in, and I get it that because of the volume of episodes, it could be difficult. I will tell you, I thought that last night was a nice welcome to anyone who had not been on and didn't watch it before. I felt that last night's episode was, you could probably piece together everything that has happened up until this point and enjoy the ride the rest of the way.
That's definitely what they're going to have to do. They have to close the circle and close it fast as far as all of the storylines. The whole point of the show was to be as broad and wide as you could for the first five seasons, whatever. And now they have to close it, and they have to close it quickly, which kind of sucks because the breadth was so interesting. I forget who put it out. Deadspin, I think, maybe, put out the definitive list of episodes that those who haven't watched, like the recap episodes, sure. The major, and it only came out to like 12, maybe 15 episodes, something like that. So you can get through them all in a day.
I had to do that for my brother with Avengers. He was like, okay.
Right.
So what do I need to watch? I'm not watching all of this.
No, you don't have to.
You did that for me because there are a couple of Thors I hadn't seen and one of the Captain Americas I didn't see.
I mean, Thor Ragnarok I think is a must if you were going to – like
it's
to
terrific.
Me, you have to – I also think it's great.
It's terrific.
But you have to watch that if you're going to go further into the whole thing. But yeah, it was fun for it to be back in and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. But I also enjoyed watching Tiger yesterday. And having it on in the background was great. And then you saw the thing, as Herb Lawrence would say, the TBS, the Thai Booty Syndrome.
Yeah.
That ended up happening to Francesco Molinari.
Not just him.
Oh, in the water. Yeah. Oh, in the water again? Oh, okay. Great.
Not even on the bank and into the water.
Just
dead center.
Just right in there.
But to watch Woods think that course, for him to just intuit that course, to have it every little blade of grass, and brought it up earlier with Brian Wacker, that once you get conditions involved, once the wind picks up, once you get a little moisture on there, he's got the advantage. Because he just knows it better than you know it. He understands what shot to play. And Bryson DeChambeau can talk all he wants about terminal velocity and air density and all that. But not there. Not on that course where Woods has already calculated angles and spin and where a ball can bounce and where it can't bounce. And he's just ahead of everybody.
I thought that he played 18 too carefully.
Too conservatively?
And I was sitting there going, ooh, he's going to end up with a 6,
yep.
And then we're going to have the thing, and we're going to 18, and then the 10, yep. And all that good stuff.
Yeah, he played that like he knew he had the shot. The par putt was fairly aggressive.
That's what I thought, too.
And I thought he knew it. I thought he wanted it. Like he did not play that like a layup with the putter flip and everything, but I was a little worried myself heading from 17 to 18.
Well, I am looking forward to today. Matt Janella from Golf Channel is going to be on the show. We're going to talk with him at 12:25. He's a friend of Chicago. So we'll talk with him about the win of Tiger Woods. Scott Diener, who's one of the executive producers of the Derrick Rose documentary, is going to be in studio with me at 1 o'clock. I'm going to talk to him about that. I thank you guys for both being here. Connor, thank you for showing up on
pleasure.
On
had
Saturday
a blast.
Night.
Glad everything went off.
I had a shot of Malort.
Wish I would have been there for that.
It wasn't that bad.
It's good.
No, it's not.
It's not good. You're wrong.
It's not good.
But it wasn't terrible.
It tastes like a foot.
It has a flavor profile that happens to fit one that I already like. Some of the Amari and some of the... I don't mind. I like the little sort of grapefruit rindy stuff you get on the back end of it.
Well,
I'm not trying to just be hipster. I'm cool because I like it. I'm honest about what I like and what I don't like. And it's good.
Apparently, it has some use as a remedy for those of us who have like Crohn's or like there is some medicinal, like that's where it got its start. So I was like, and when I was told that, I said, actually, you know what, now that I think about it, like my stomach felt fine after that. So more Malort for everyone. More Malort, I think. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. That's Connor McKnight and Dan Bernstein. You can hear their show every day, 9 a.m. until noon. Tony, we got a lot of work to do. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.